My biggest frustration, I feel that we just don't have that support from the government. In fact, they're just more supportive of corporations. And we need small businesses. You know, these little small businesses are really important to keep the place ticking over, but you definitely don't feel like you get that support to keep your little business going.
When we talk about the hospitality industry, we're talking about lots of different worlds and different ways that people can intersect with food and the people that enjoy it in all kinds of different ways. Today's guest is Eloise Emmett. She is the very definition of a food slashy with so many different things that she does. She's an author, photographer, chef, stylist. She is the owner, chef and host at Little Norfolk Bay Bistro and Chalets in Tasmania. And it's probably that latter iteration of all the different things that Eloise does that we'll be focusing most on today. Eloise, welcome to Dirty Linen.
Oh, thanks for having me, Danny. I've been really looking forward to having a chat.
Well, I am really grateful to be chatting to you as well and for you taking time out of all the many things that you do to talk to us. Give us a little rundown on what happens at Little Norfolk Bay.
So we've got four chalets on site. So we have accommodation and we have a bistro that we've recently reopened. It had been closed for a long time when I had children, but that's a whole other story. And so in that bistro, we really focus on serving the fish that my husband catches. He's a fisherman, but lots of other things as well. We like serving the whole fish and sort of really using that to really showcasing that fish that sometimes is a little bit underappreciated, I think.
Ah, sounds so good. What's an example? Like what's running well at the moment? What would you serve me?
Well, the parrotfish dish. So that's a whole steamed parrotfish and then it's topped with ginger and spring onions and soy and that sort of thing. And then hot sesame oil poured over the top. But that fish, my husband catches and he keeps it live and it goes to, normally gets flown to Melbourne and Sydney and the Chinese restaurants. You see them in the tanks over there, but we don't really eat a lot of it in Tasmania. A lot of people didn't really know how to use it or enjoy it. So yeah, it's nice to be able to serve it in Tassie, in the restaurant, bistro.
That's incredible. And give us a sense of where you are. Like, is it a place that people travel to? Are there lots of locals that come? What's the setup?
So we're on the Tasman Peninsula, which is the most well-known thing on the Tasman Peninsula is obviously the Port Arthur Historic Site. So we're around 15 minutes away from the historic site. So we are in an, I suppose you'd call it a touristy area, but it's also an area where a lot of people have shacks and holiday homes and that sort of thing, and a few people live as well. So it's, yeah, a really beautiful spot. But we are only sort of an hour and 10 minutes from Hobart, so it's a nice drive as well, not just it's a great place to stay as well, but a lot of people will just come for a drive as well.
Okay, so it's that coming to stay side of things that we're going to focus a little bit on today. You reached out to me, I suppose, in the context of our Is Hospitality Broken series of conversations that we're having to talk about something that particularly impacts you as a provider of accommodation, which is, you know, a key part of so many regional towns and regional hospitality businesses that, you know, have a foot in both camps. Tell us a bit about the accommodation and how that ties into the rest of the business, Eloise.
So we've had the accommodation down there for about 15 years and I've been operating the property for about 20 years. So we really like to have people come, obviously dine and stay, or when we're doing workshops and cooking retreats, you know, people to use the whole property basically. I have watched the industry change over the time. I think we've sort of, it's hard to get your own, is that the word? It's harder to get your own direct bookings with sort of the increase of these overseas third party booking sites. It's something that I think we could be a lot better supported by the government in that area. And I think we need to be supported, because it's just, to me, seems like we're sending money overseas for nothing. So when things are, you know, we're in a bit of an economic downturn, I think it would be a really good opportunity to be better supported by the government in that area.
So, I mean, let's look at it, you know, from my point of view. I want to come to Tassie. I'm always focused on where I'm going to eat. So perhaps I dot that in first, and then I start looking for places to stay to build my itinerary. Let's say I do turn to Airbnb or booking.com. Why is that a bad thing?
I think... basically, because we're sending that commission from that stay overseas, you know, we want to keep the money locally. We want, for example, if people were to book with me for the same price of that commission, I can include a meal and some wine and breakfast provisions and that sort of thing. So when I do that, then I'm purchasing a little bit of honey from the local person, purchasing a little bit of lavender for the granola. I'm purchasing wine from a vineyard, and we're keeping the money locally. I think Airbnb, for example, they started in a really good place, but they're so good at what they do. They are amazing tech operators so when they started, and it was helpful, what if they were helpful, they were selling your sort of leftover rooms that you couldn't sell yourself, basically. But they're so good at what they do now that everyone books through them. So if you, for example, you put in your search to try and find somewhere to stay in the area, you can't actually find me without one of these sites, if that makes sense. So they're not really actually doing anything to bring people to Tasmania. They're sort of just taking a commission off all the bookings now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. So I'll start searching for accommodation Tasmania, or accommodation Little Norfolk Bay, and the Airbnb or the booking.com or whatever it is, those massive engines will come up well before your personal listing does on my search engine. They do just have all that SEO just nailed, and they're improving it all the time. I guess people are always nervous about where they put their credit card details. There's a bit of wariness around that. Well, tell me an experience that you had recently with some customers that were standing in your car park.
Yeah, so we've had now we have people that will turn up and be in the car park, and they'll prefer to book through Airbnb or booking.com because they think it's safer than handing their credit card over to me, which is kind of ridiculous, really, because if you have a problem with Airbnb and booking.com, they're in Los Angeles or the Netherlands, and you're going to get stuck in the call centre roundabout. But if you have a problem with me and I rip you off, you can go and call the local policeman. But this is what's happened, and it is the younger generation coming through who have been, you know, they've had this marketing pushed at them now for, we're talking 15 years, that, you know, it's safer to book through Airbnb. So that is a good example because obviously they've found me through driving past and my signage. So Airbnb hasn't actually done anything to bring that booking to Tasmania. So we will have that now with weddings in the area. Everyone will book through booking.com or Airbnb. But I think it's at a point now where it actually needs, changes need to happen at a government level. And back to what I was saying about the 15 years of marketing, Well, we've never had anything to balance that out. You know, if you've just got Airbnb or Booking.com pushing their message, but we haven't had, you know, the AHA or someone else going, balancing that out, they are only going to get that one message, and it's going to continue on, and they can continue to put their commissions up, and there's no balance, or there's no one there doing anything about it, basically. In fact, now I think Airbnb is practically writing policies for the state government
Well, I think, I mean, that's probably where we could hope to create some change. I think Airbnb or, you know, any of those sites, like, they're a reality. They are in this landscape. But governments, of course, you know, have lots of levers that they can pull as well. So what do you think that the Tassie government or any of our state governments could think about doing differently?
I think the first thing would be, we hear a lot of talk about them wanting to stop it and all of this sort of thing. But once they embraced that sharing economy, the damage was done. It would be hard to change policies and all of that sort of thing. But it's simply education, educating people who are operating their businesses. I think also, you know, Airbnb may sell this dream that, you know, running accommodation's really easy money. And you see people, they go and spend $28,000 on a renovation so they can put their place on Airbnb. And you're kind of like, wow, that's a lot of overnight stays you're going to need to start making some money. Maybe when people, you know, where do they go to get the balanced side of running accommodation, if that makes sense? There isn't anything happening from the AHA or Tourism Tasmania or Tourism Australia to sort of educate people. So it's just education, simply education really to start with. It would be hard to change policies at this point, I imagine, but an ideal world would be Tourism Tasmania or Tourism Australia, one of them making the big booking platform, taking the percentage of all the bookings, and then that money stays locally. But whether or not that could actually happen in a government department, but that would be the best solution.
Yeah, I mean, that actually, as you say that, it's like, well, actually, yeah, why not? That sounds like a really good idea. If those commissions could be pushed back into local tourism.
Well, just that money that goes overseas now, I mean, we talk about downtime when, and I've listened to recent podcasts that you've had, and we talk about, well, it's a good time to get in and, you know, see where money's going and, you know, keep an eye on your business and tighten things up and all of that. Well, that's pretty much what the government needs to do too. You know, like, why are we sending all this money overseas? It's just ridiculous. It's a huge amount of money for people to do nothing. And when I say that, any unique accommodation can sell their own property. They don't need to be going through Airbnb and Booking.com. But I think newer people coming in, they actually think you have to sell through Airbnb, and it's kind of like, no, they were always just a wholesaler. I have another, like, and this potentially could happen. What if every doctor's appointment, what if every booking with an architect, what if every plumber that you booked, you sent 10% of that money overseas, or 15% or whatever it is? Well, you'd hope it wouldn't happen because it just sounds crazy, but that's exactly what's happening in hospitality now in the accommodation industry. It's madness, really.
Yeah, I mean, you make a really good point. I mean, would it be too scary for you to not be on these platforms?
Oh, you absolutely couldn't be. I had, you don't have to be. You could not be on there and have not very many customers, but we sort of have to be. As you said before, if you, tr- I'm I try really hard with my photos and my images and to do the SEO. I'm not paying Google ads yet, but you just can't, you can't compete with these massive tech giants. Like, so you're lucky to get your page, your own website on the first page of a search engine now, because they're just so good at what they do. And so but when people are looking for somewhere to stay, they actually couldn't find you, or they really struggle to find you if you're not on these sites. So, I mean, I've been there for 20 years now, and luckily I have a lot of repeat business and that sort of thing, and regular customers with the accommodation, and people have told their friends and that sort of thing. But I will still have people from Hobart book through Airbnb that have stayed with me before. And even though I have sort of tried to say in the rooms, please, you know, book direct next time and, you know, you'll get a better deal or whatever, they'll still book through Airbnb. I've actually had people that have stayed with me 5 or 6 times, used to book direct, and now they book through Airbnb and they only live an hour away. But, you know, if you're a busy person, you know, sitting in an office or doing whatever and you're quickly booking your accommodation, sometimes they actually accidentally book through these sites as well, because they're so, they come up first. But it's sad for them as well. Like, it's not just me that's missing out, or it's also, you know, there's, like, I had a man the other week who rang and he wanted to know why the price was different between what he'd paid and what the rate was that day. And, like, he was actually quite angry about it. And I looked up his booking and I said, because you've booked through booking.com or wherever it was, and they can pretty much charge what they want, which makes me look really bad, because, you know, I'm not Badara Island, so you're paying what, like, I want to charge for what I'm offering, if that makes sense. So if they turn up and they've paid a lot more, like, I'm not not a exclusive resort that can charge massive amounts, you know what I mean? I am what I am. So when they've paid too much, that's not good for them or me. But, and then I sort of explained to this man about it, and, you know, if, you know, what you pay for your fridge at Harvey, you know, Electrolux fridge at Harvey Norman isn't really Electrolux's fault, if that makes sense. Like, you know, trying to have these, explain this to people. But I think this is where the government could be stepping in and, you know, having this education about it, having this education about it. They could be helping educate people.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I'm sure, you know, Airbnb or any of those big platforms perhaps has a closer line to government than, you know, all these individual small businesses. So, I understand the frustrations from that customer's point of view, and also from yours, where you'd much rather have them standing there and be talking about the local attractions or the parrot fish than explaining the inner machinations of the way a booking works. It is just a frustrating situation.
Just one more thing you just don't need. You want to get up and do, you know, I want to cook the food and make sure I've got lovely accommodation, and that's what I want to be doing. You don't want to be dealing with all this other bullshit that no one else is supporting with. And I think this is my biggest frustration. I feel that we just don't have that support from the government. In fact, they're just more supportive of corporations. And we need small businesses. You know, you look at somewhere like Tasmania, pretty much, well, this is rough, but a third of Tasmania's unemployed, a third works for the government, and a third self-employed or a small business. So, you know, these little small businesses are really important to keep the place ticking over, but you definitely don't feel like you get that support to keep your little business going.
And we do know that every dollar counts in these small businesses, you know, now more than ever. And I think people have perhaps been educated to some degree that if it's possible for them to pick up takeaway from their local restaurant rather than get it through one of the platforms, then that does help the restaurant.
It's the same thing.
The same thing for accommodation. Eloise, I think you bring up some really good points, and I think it's worth remembering that, you know, certainly in regional Australia, but throughout the country, there are such close ties between accommodation providers and food businesses. So, it's the same bottom line for you, and I'm really grateful to you for airing these issues with us today.
Oh, well, I hope I made some sense. And you don't want to feel like one of those people that's really, you know, negative, but, you know, we have this, you know, Tasmania especially, it's all about local and support local, and it's like you just go and book an Airbnb and give whatever percent of the profit overseas. It's not really supporting local. We need to think a bit deeper, I think, where we're spending our money.
Yeah, well, you've certainly brought those issues to the table very clearly. So, yeah, I will definitely be getting to the second and third pages of my search results and finding the actual business and booking with them.
Yeah, cool. That'd be really good.
This is Dirty Linen, and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta at Dirty Linen Podcast. We can't wait to hear from you.